the greatest teacher on the face of this earth, the great pastor and overseer of Israel, Abel Hawkins.
Hello, everyone. That's good. There you go, Greg. Okay, you ready? Well, Yahweh, you may be seated. I asked for some extra time today because I want to get this sermon all in one show, and so it'll be easier to understand. The wars. I asked for the, I believe this is the wars. I asked for the number of wars that we have had, and I can find the start of this thing. I don't know if this is wars or abortion. Let's see. Now, this was since the 1900s, Planned Parenthood. Now, this is hard to believe that this is going on Earth and in America, but Planned Parenthood, Federation of America, the number of innocent human beings who were aborted at Planned Parenthood in 2010, every day. Now, this is every day. This is the sickness of this world. 329,445 abortions for the year. This goes on every year now. Every year. 2010, they made $320 million for the year. 1,335,342, that's the number of tax dollars Planned Parenthood received every day. They received $487 million in 2010. 46%. That's the percentage of Planned Parenthood revenue paid by U.S. taxpayers. That's for just murdering babies. And I know they hate me for telling them this is murder, but this is murder. And here's the wars we're having now. We've had 237 wars since 1900, and deaths from those wars was 95,890,838. Now, if you could absorb all of this, and you can see then what our world is doing right now, what it's come to from the time of creation. Now, in this same time period, in this last generation, that is, we've come down to this right here. This is what the world is. Yahweh has started to work in this last generation that's going to turn this whole thing around to peace, to a peaceful solution that will bring peace, joy, love to everyone in every planet in the universe. We're now getting some results. The House of Yahweh display of the end of the world that we have down here. I don't know if you noticed the planes flying over and taking the pictures, but there have been quite a few this week. I think I counted five coming over. The House of Yahweh exhibits display showing prophecy fulfilled. Here's the newspapers that took this story and printed it. 33,000. This was since, I believe this was since Monday. 33,278. Now that's newspapers that's printed that story of that exhibit. So we are getting some results for that. The newspaper's website see increase in unique and average daily visitors in first quarter. The first quarter. Just came in to me. They're keeping me informed. Newspapers improved upon their website traffic in the first quarter 2012 with 4.4% increase year over year in adult unique visitors, 113 million, and a 10% increase in adult average daily visitors, 25 million. Now, the reason I wanted this information was because this ad went out in 33. The ad of the display went out to 33,000 newspapers. So those newspapers took this to the people, families, I think the average is four, and I don't know what, still don't know what the average newspapers are that's being sold by each one of these, but how many read the ad. But that's how many newspapers ran the ad. Now, the peaceful solution, what we did, we took the card that says this, take this, this will solve your problem. We took that card and we opened it up and sent this to the newspapers, and they ran this ad. Peaceful Solution Character Education Incorporated reveals new method to get problem solving. The rest of it is so faint that I can't read it, but now that went out yesterday morning. And in a 24-hour period, 27,955 news medias took the story and ran it. If you, whatever their mailing list is, you know, whether it's 10,000 or 100,000 or whatever, that this is what they're we're reaching here with this, with these ads, where they're actually getting interested in this now, mostly the world peace, you know, because the first ad we ran, we told all nations to lay down their weapons, and that there's a peaceful solution that we can, and the second one that I'm writing now will show them how they can actually take every nation, each nation can sign a truce for 6 months, give us the opportunity to preach to all nations, all the teachers of all the nations, yeah, in 6 months they won't want to pick up those weapons again. Now that's what I'm saying. In 6 months, if we can get this out, the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program out to everyone, all the teachers in the world, and they teach it. Now, we've had some feedback already, and one leader, I won't tell you who he is because I don't want the enemies after him just yet till we get him built up to where he can withstand their bologna. But he said, he says, I can guarantee you under my leadership, there's not going to be abortions or homosexuals taught in homosexuality taught in the schools. So, you know, we're getting quite a great response to this. And this in 24-hour period now, this is, to me, it's really great. Now, with the world going on in these wars here, you know, you can pretty much see that the world, which the prophecy shows is being led by the Catholic Church, has been since the days of Nimrod. That's where the system started, the Nimrod School of Rebellion, which said we'll rule by force, not by choice, but by force. We'll force them to do what we want them to do. Well, of course, this has been going on now for right out 5,000 years, this trying to rule by force, and it doesn't work. And right now, we've increased, the war supplies have increased to where it's like Satan wants. She wants to destroy humanity along with the planets that govern the earth, which we see in Genesis 1, that certain planets, this earth was built for a certain purpose. And, of course, those planets that govern this earth, she wants to destroy those too. And Yahweh is going to show that she could do it, you know. I mean, through mankind, he's wanting to show this, and he's put us on exhibit, and that's exactly what's taking place. But you can see from the number of wars that we've had, they haven't decreased. They keep increasing each year. And the number of deaths from those, and now we've got up to nuclear war, and this is what everyone is expecting. They're now talking about, you know, fallout shelters again. But that's not going to save anyone. You know, a fallout shelter is not going to save anyone. It might protect you for a little while, but then you've got to come out of that fallout shelter, and unless you have a higher power protecting you from what is coming, then you're going to see this thing destroyed. Praise Yahweh, he said this is the protected place, meaning in prophecy. Praise Yahweh. Well, on the other hand, the largest religious organization in the world is taking his stand from the podium and kissing babies, supposedly casting out demons, but he hasn't said that yet, but others are saying that's what he's doing. And he's making a big show of deception, which is what the prophecy said he would. As far as anything constructive to stop the wars, he's not. Nothing has been said in any wise. Now, some of the local religions have saying that they're going to start teaching a peaceful solution. It's worthless. I've seen what they got to offer. It's nothing. It wouldn't help anyone to achieve peace. The house of Yahweh himself is the only one that has an answer to this problem. And of course, praise Yahweh. And it's being sought for right now by a lot of people, as you can tell. And more, it's as the word spreads, more and more will, of course, I want you to turn back to Genesis. More and more will turn to this way. And, of course, we see that about 2 billion people will be saved out of this mess. It's not something that's going to take place overnight, but it can and will. And, of course, what we're going to save is about 2 billion people. Well, in Genesis, we see a plan that they're trying to knock that out now, too. They're trying to discredit Genesis, but nothing else makes sense except what is shown right here. And we got up to that last week in Genesis 1:26. Now, this was the plan, and in verse 26, we see why man was made. He made in the image and likeness of Yahweh. Now, that's what the purpose is. The purpose is to make mankind just like Yahweh, to be the Yahweh family. And then Yahweh would use his family. He would give them authority that is much higher than the Malachim, because they're proving that they can be trusted. And that is the proof that we've got to bring forth to Yahweh, or we won't be chosen. But in verse 26, we see that that's what Yahweh is going to do, and then he's going to give us authority. Now, seven works were planned to bring forth sons and daughters for this purpose. The tree of life was presented in each one of these plants. It was presented, each one of the seven works. And Yahweh says he will have no other works, that this seven works he's got planned, which we're the last one, it's going to bring forth to mankind the fruits of the tree of life, which will be Yahweh's. If you look over to chapter 2 now, and we got some of this last week, but chapter 2, and look at verse 9, we see here the tree of life, and then we see the worldly religions there in that same chapter. That's a mixture of righteousness and evil. This mixture of righteousness and evil has now killed, murdered through war alone, 95 billion? I've got to get those numbers. They're hard to get in my mind. Estimated, the total report is 992 billion. That's abortions. The total number of abortions. The money that's being made off of that, there's no way I could even pronounce it. The deaths from wars now, 237 wars, is 97,896,838. So we can see here that what Yahweh offers here and sets before us, he said, this tree of righteousness and evil. Now, Yahweh said to Cain, he said, on a Sabbath day, if you go there to number 4, chapter 4, and look at verse 2, then she bore again, this time his brother, Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep. If you look on down to verse 3, on one of Yahweh's Sabbaths. Now, what would that teach a person? Now, I said from the beginning, and this is what the apostles say, this was what was taught in the beginning. So you should be able to find it. If it was taught in the beginning, you should be able to see it, right? Well, what do you see here? You see on one of Yahweh's Sabbaths. So the Sabbath was being taught. One of Yahweh's Sabbaths, which means just one, which means the more of Yahweh's Sabbaths were being taught at that time. They said the law wasn't even taught till Exodus. Now, this is how stupid they are, scripturally stupid they are, because the scripture itself and the apostles and Yahshua himself testified to the fact that this plan of Yahweh to perfect mankind with his laws was taught in the beginning. There's only one beginning. And Yahweh shows it began with a work here. And he says, on one of Yahweh's Sabbaths. Look at verse 7 now. Verse 7, he says, if you do righteousness. Now, what would that tell you? Righteous, he's teaching from this tree of life here. He's teaching righteousness. And if you do, righteousness. Well, if he didn't teach Cain what righteousness was, that wouldn't benefit. Now, the Pope said to those who do good, he won't even pronounce the word righteousness. He doesn't want it in his vocabulary. They tried to take it out of the King James Version, but they were unsuccessful in many cases. So today they avoid the word righteousness because this Hebrew word for righteousness has a certain meaning. It means exactly that. Righteousness means the laws, the set laws of righteousness, teaching mankind what righteousness truly is. So he says to Cain here, now this is Cain he's teaching this to. Do you get that? He's teaching Cain righteousness. And he said, if you practice this righteousness, which I'm teaching you, Cain, then he said, you will be accepted. If you don't practice this righteousness, look at what he says. If you don't, here's the warning. What lies at his door? Sin. Well, what is sin? You see what he's teaching Cain here? He's teaching this in the beginning. In fact, this is the fourth chapter of the beginning. Fourth chapter of Genesis. And he's teaching him the righteousness, and he's teaching him what sin is also. He sets it before them. This is what he sets before them. In chapter 2, verse 9, I set before you the tree of righteousness, but I'm also teaching you what sin is and telling you don't do it or you're going to have continual war as you see further down. So we see here he's teaching sin and he's also teaching righteousness. Now Yahweh taught this to Cain. You must overcome. See, he's telling him you must overcome this. You see that? All in the beginning. You must overcome sin. The Pope has not got this message. He's still teaching the world to sin. And sin, according to Isaiah 24, 1 through 6, is what's causing the defilement of the earth, the defilement of mankind's minds, the confusion that we're seeing today all over the world where everyone is wanting to kill everyone else. The babies that the Pope is kissing are deformed and defiled. Their minds are defiled. Their bodies are defiled. They're defective. But kissing the baby will make it okay. No, that's a big lie. And the only thing it is to deceive. And a deceived mind is saying, oh, look how righteous this person is. No, it has nothing to do with righteousness. Celebrating Christmas has nothing to do with righteousness. Santa Claus coming down the chimney has nothing to do with righteousness. Painting Easter eggs and worshiping the goddess of Easter, the Queen of Heaven, has nothing to do with righteousness. And the Pope has read the Bible, some of it, but he won't accept righteousness, and Scripture says he won't. So if he won't, then sin is lying at his door, as he told Cain. This was the teaching in the beginning. Righteousness. If any Catholics are listening out there, I beg you to look at these words. Turn over to Deuteronomy 6. The whole world, I beg you, listen to this. Read the Scriptures. Don't be deceived by these men who put on acts to deceive. As we're going to see, the Savior warns you of this. This is big-time deception that has just started, and you're going to see it worsen as we go, in so much that even the very elect could be deceived. If it were possible, if Yahweh would have just let you, he won't, because he's called you out of this world. You may run in fear or benefit or whatever to think you're benefiting yourself. You might leave, but you won't be deceived. you'll know that you're going to burn in hell, and this is the last place, the last instruction that you'll get. You won't get any after this. But righteousness, the same thing he taught to Cain, he displays right here in verse 25. And it will be our righteousness if we observe to do all these laws before Yahweh and our Father as he has commanded. This is righteousness. Now, the Sabbath was one of those. If you look back to Genesis 1, now here's the very first of Yahweh's creation here in Genesis 1. And look here at verse 14. Verse 14. Now dissect this verse and look at what it's teaching, what he's actually teaching Cain and Abel. 14. And Yahweh said, let there be lights in the firmament of the sky. This is what Satan hates. Man, does she hate this. And she's wanted, this is the reason the heavens are going to rock and roll, because she wants to destroy the heavens and the earth. And these are the heavens that she wants to destroy. Let there be lights in the expanse, that is the firmament of the sky, to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs. Signs? In Exodus, when it's given the commandments, it says, this will be a sign unto you. Put the two together and look at the rest of it. To mark thee. Now, the King James Version translates this, seasons. Traditionally translated seasons in the King James Version is where you see the footnote there. But if you look at Strong's Concordance, it means appointed time, designated time, season, congregation. It actually means a congregation. Remember, Yahweh said you'll have a holy convocation. That means a congregation. Have a holy convocation, a holy meeting of people. Now, this is coming from Strong's. Congregation, time appointed. These are times, these Sabbaths are times appointed to meet with Yahweh. Solemn feast. Yes, that's Strong's Concordance, and it says solemn feast days. These are the Sabbaths of Yahweh. And on one of those Sabbaths, he was teaching them what I'm teaching you today. Yahweh was teaching them. Praise Yahweh. Now this I'm still reading from Strong's Concordance. Solemn feast, set time, set feast, appointed solemn feast, appointed feast, appointed sign, places of assembly, solemn assembly. Now, to read it again here. So Yahweh, when he made the heaven, made the earth, and the heavens that govern the earth, he put planets to show you set times to show his people, including Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel, and all the rest of the people that were multiplying at that time. Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark the feast and for days and years. Praise Yahweh. Turn on over to, now with that in your mind, and turn on over to Leviticus. Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. Set times. Why would he want this? Well, the first place to fulfill this plan. I will make mankind in my image. And then I will give him this great authority. So, he's going to let him run out through the earth without any guidance? No, he sets up a house of Yahweh called the Great House of Abel that they translated in the King James Version, Great Stone of Abel. The Great Stone of Abel. But all the authorities say this is the Great House of Yahweh at Abel. Then he had the flood. Then he had, remember the flood. And then the ark came down. And as the great Kohan Yehuda proved that the ark actually settled in Abel. And, of course, was used. Used until they didn't need it anymore. And used up. Well, in Leviticus 23, but somebody found it over somewhere else. They must have transported it with a covered wagon and two mules pulling it way up in a mountain, and then it froze up somewhere. Well, all of this is deception, so you won't hunt for the truth, see? You'll think, well, it's in Sinai somewhere. Well, where's Sinai? Well, two of our men went there one time. Asked for $1 billion, and he said, sure, just a minute. And they said, well, a minute is like 1,000 years with this being. Let's go back and ask for something else and narrow it down. Well, that's the world. It's hunting the fountain of youth and the tree that the goose that lays the golden eggs. That's the two things they're hunting. And neither one of them can save them, of course. But Leviticus 23, and we've already established now in chapter 1 of Genesis that these feast days, the Sabbath days, were being taught in chapter 1 to the people. Why would they teach it before the Exodus? How did Moshe know the law before and know that he was fulfilling it and going to bring his people out and save them from sickness, disease, and so forth? He knew all of these things. It was written at Abel. And, of course, the ark protected those writings, and they were used for years and years and years and still being spoken of thousands of years later, saying, you want an answer? Ask at Abel. It's all there, given in the beginning. And the apostle said the same thing. This is the love of Yahweh taught in the beginning. Well, 23, these are appointments with Yahweh, where Yahweh sets you aside to teach you. Now keep this in mind. He says, my Sabbaths are a sign, so you will know that it's me that's here teaching. Well, how would that possibly show you that it's Yahweh that's there teaching? Because no one else keeps the Sabbath. They hate it. They hate the Sabbaths. And they did away with them. Only the house of Yahweh teaches the Sabbath days. Praise Yahweh. So these are appointments now, set appointments forever, eternal appointments, set with Yahweh, so we could seek the place where he chooses to place his authority. That's his authority. His authority what? To give you this authority, the same authority he has, so you will rule as a family with Yahweh. Where I choose to place my name, that means my authority. I choose to place my authority. In these last days, that authority comes straight from heaven, sitting at the right side of Yahweh, the high priest over the house of Yahweh. You see what a beautiful picture this is when you just believe what the prophets have spoken and put it together. Well, here now, in one of these set times, notice he says in verse 1, he says, and Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say, concerning the feast of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim, Moshe, proclaim these, teach these, in other words, to the holy convocations, to be holy convocations, holy gatherings, in other words. Same thing we saw back in Genesis. These are my feasts. They're my feasts. Satan doesn't teach these feasts. Satan doesn't keep these feasts. You can't pick righteousness, you can't pick the fruits of righteousness from trees of righteousness and evil. It's not there. So Yahweh says, if you start keeping the Sabbath, you're going to know it's me that had you do it, not Satan. Praise Yahweh. These are my feasts. Six days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest. Mark out that word solemn. A Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of Yahweh in all your dwellings. And the words there are, you shall do none of your work on that day. Now notice, these are the feast of Yahweh, his holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. Remember the word seasons that they translated? It's set time, set appointments with Yahweh. On the 14th of the first moon, between the two evenings, Yahweh's Passover sacrifice is to be killed. On the 15th day of the same moon is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Yahweh. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall do no regular work. Translated correctly there in that place. No regular work on that day. Now, here's the beautiful part of it that I'll get in deeper into explaining. But look on down to verse 10. Verse 10. This is speaking of you, so pay close attention. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, speak to the children of Israel. Israel means he who rules as Yahweh rules. And when he brings you to his house, he wants to train you to rule as he rules. And yes. And you can find out his rule just by reading the Holy Scriptures and seeing what Yahweh is. But verse 10, speak to the children of Israel, to those who want to rule as Yahweh rules. When you come into the land which I am giving you. Well, if you know, this is not talking now geographically. Abraham, you know, had no place to set his feet, even though he was given all this land, all these hills and mountains and everything. He owned nothing. Yeshua, he owned three houses that we know of. He owned those houses, and yet he had no place to lay his head. The foxes have dens and everything, and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. But there is something that is given that he is speaking of that was not his at that time, not yours at that time, but it's going to be abundance, in abundance. When you come into the land which I am giving you, when you're come into the kingdom of Yahweh, you could put Revelation 22:14 right there, because this is what it's speaking of. And this is what Yahweh is showing that he's bringing us to. Hold your place there in Leviticus. And Revelations 22. Now here is Yahshua sitting here speaking in Revelations 22. And we know he's the high priest over the house of Yahweh, as we're told in Hebrews and also in Psalms. He would sit at the right hand of Yahweh until Yahweh brings about this conversion that is going to take place. But here he is right here, and he's fulfilling some scriptures here, a lot of them. But you see, he's in charge here. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work will be. Sign you a job, in other words. He's going to give you a job. And right now you're training to work. You may be training to take a toothbrush and clean out around the commode, the filthy mess that hides in the cracks. That's what I used to do. And I was so tickled about it because I had a job. Well, Yeshua is saying here, I'm going to give you a work to do. And this is him speaking here. If you had a red letter edition, they even know that themselves. I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the end, spoken of. No one could understand that. He's the first spoken of, and he's the one to bring it to pass. He was spoken of back here in Genesis, prophesied of back here in Genesis. He's the first. And he's the last here that's going to bring this great plan to a completion here, because he's high priest, and that is a very necessary thing for you, because we have this great high priest between us and Yahweh, who is taking our prayers to Yahweh, taking our improvements, our disabilities, everything to Yahweh, and showing how close he is to getting this job done. He says, I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And they say, the Christians, well, no use going into that. It's just stupidity anyway. They don't know how to explain it. They couldn't explain it in a million years, even if they studied day and night. But I am the first and the last. And that prophecy shows you what that means. And he says, blessed are those that keep his laws. Keep his, King James Version says, commandments. Well, that's righteousness. Blessed are those who practice righteousness. That's the same thing that was taught to Cain. If you do these things, you know, then you will be accepted. And that's what Yahshua is saying here. Blessed are those who keep his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Tree of life. Now, go back to Leviticus 23 here. That's our high priest right there. But Leviticus 23, and get verse 10 again. When you come into the land which I am giving you. Now, the reason I know this is us is because we're the first. And this is the first fruits. And you reap its harvest. This harvest is going to be reaped starting with you. It's starting with you. None of the rest of them ever fulfill this. What we're speaking of here, what you are specially made for, and you were planned for, and you were designed for, to take this magnificent job that Yahweh is offering you. Yes, praise Yahweh. So when we come into that land, that's what Yahshua was talking about there in Revelations. I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who have practiced this righteousness, because I'm giving you right now to the tree of life. And he sits there as your judge on that throne at the right hand of Yahweh. And he's bringing you to that perfection, that golden perfection that we've been singing about. Then shall you bring a sheaf, that is a group of people, first fruits of your harvest to the priest. To the priest. And he will wave the sheaf, that's you, in front of Yahweh to be accepted. To be accepted. On the day after the first holy day, after the Sabbath, after you're trained, is what he's saying. After you're trained on my Sabbaths to be like Yahweh, then you will be accepted, as he said to Cain. On the Sabbath. So on one of Yahweh's Sabbaths, he said this to Cain, teaching him the same thing in the book of Genesis. And now look at this beautiful verse 12. You shall offer on that day, when you wave the sheaf, the lamb, without blemish. Without blemish and without defect. Never been anyone else except Yahshua who has done that. Verse 10. This is what's being offered in verse 10. It's not geographically that he is speaking of. It's not a portion on the earth, but it's the portion that is offered to you in Genesis 1 and verse 26. None have accomplished this yet. They could not. They did not have the perfect lamb, the high priest. He had to be a high priest to guide the people. Let's go over to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, the first chapter. We come with the lamb. The only ones that have the lamb is, of course, Yahweh's house. They come with the lamb. Well, in Hebrews 1 now, in verse 1, he says, Yahweh, who is at various times and in different place, different ways, spoke in time past to our fathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us through his Son. Last days. Well, when he said last days, that should clue you in to Genesis 49, of course. The last days, this is what's going to take place in the last day. So he's telling you that he's going to have a guide over the house of Yahweh in the last days, and special things are going to take place under this guide who was without spot, without blemish, perfectly righteous, according to the laws of righteousness, has in these last days spoken to us through his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Now, that is owner of all things. He had to be the Son of Man. That's what this promise is made to, was the Son of Man. And Yahshua said, because I have gotten this judgment, because I am the Son of Man. He had to be the Son of Man to do this. But there again, the world reads over that. They said, no, this is the Son of the Holy Spirit. This is Holy Ghost, not Spirit. Holy Ghost. Son of God. And they want to be like the gods. Well, here he has appointed him heir of all things, for whom he also made the world. He made the earth, the creation of the earth. He made it for that purpose. Genesis, that's what we were just reading about. Made it for that purpose and started his laws to being taught and kept at that time. Who being the reflection of the perfection of Yahweh, that is, in the likeness and image of Yahweh, and the representation of Yahweh's plan. See, his plan there is plan to make man in his image and likeness. Genesis 1:26. We're now in Hebrews 1 and verse 3. Yahweh's plan, a representation of his plan, In the beginning was the plan, Yochanan said. Yochanan 1:1. In the beginning was his plan, and he saw to it that nothing was done that was done without his permission, without being according to this plan. So what is taking place right here, the killing, the destruction that you see, it was planned, of course. He made man subject to vanity, and man has followed that vanity, and he says, here's what it's going to bring you. And they obliged. Yahweh's plan, by upholding all things concerning that which was spoken by Yahweh through the law and the prophets. Upholding all of those things. That's the reason he said, you're a fool if you don't believe the prophets, all that the prophets have spoken. When he had purged sins, sat down on the right hand of Yahweh on high. He, our high priest, had to pay for our sins He had to buy us back from Satan because we sold our lives to Satan. You belong to whom you obey. We sold out to Satan. He bought us back. Becoming so much better than the Malachim, he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name, that is authority, and more excellent authority brought by character. Look on down to verse 8. But to the Son, he says, the throne of your Father is forever and ever a scepter. Now, in Genesis 49, we'll get deeper into in just a little while. Genesis 49, we see this scepter is to be inherited by a certain person, and a prophesied person. This scepter that he must have in order to say to us, now this is a ruling authority, he must receive this authority or this judgment. He says, all judgment is given unto me. That's in Yochanan 5. But in order to receive this now, this scepter of righteousness, he first had to live by Yahweh's laws, which he did 100%. And then he could then say, you have right, you have my authority to the tree of life, eternal life, to Yahweh. And I'm going to give you a job in the kingdom. Notice, the righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Righteousness. Righteousness means, 1 John 3:4 says, sin is the breaking of Yahweh's laws. Verse 7 and 8 says, don't let anyone deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. He who commits sin belongs to the devil. And verse 10 says, this is what manifest the house of Yahweh from these trees of righteousness and evil. And the fruits that he's gathering from this last one right here, this last tree, the seventh lamp on the lampstand, is you. That's you. And that's the offering, that's the first fruits, as we'll see. You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, Yahweh, your Father, has anointed you with the oil of gladness, or the golden oil, more than your companions. Now look at verse 10 there. And you, Yahweh, in the beginning, you see that? taking you right back to the beginning, what we just saw a few minutes ago. The same message was taught to them in the beginning. And you, Yahweh, in the beginning, laid the foundation for the earth. That is the purpose for it. The purpose of the earth was for mankind. He made it for mankind so he could train mankind on his Sabbath days. And they would know that it's him that set them apart for this special purpose that Yahshua in Revelations 22 says, come on, I'm going to give you a job in Yahweh's kingdom. And you have right to the tree of life. Praise Yahweh. And you, Yahweh, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the works of your hands, of course, to bring this about. Now, the last will be first. In Revelations 22, we see that Yahshua here is speaking to his house now. In fact, he says he's testifying to his house. He's the high priest, Revelations 22. He's the high priest over the house of Yahweh. And he says in verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work will be. I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the end. The end of Yahweh's plan here, this total plan that Revelations 10 says the seventh Moloch, when the plan will be finished in that time, that time period, that generation. Blessed are those who keep his commandments, that they may have right to this tree of life. Tree of life. If you look back over now to Matthew 19. Keep that in mind, what you just read. Matthew 19, look at verse 30. And we're talking about you have right to the tree of life, and he's speaking of the same thing right here. He says, however, the many who are first will be last. And last, and many who are last will be first. In chapter 20 of Matthew, and notice verse 8 now. So when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the steward, the manager of his house, summon the laborers, that's you, and give them their wages, beginning with the last. Such beautiful words when they're put together. If you go over to Yochanan now, Yeshua, his prayers. Yochanan 17. Let's read verse 9. Yochanan 17 and verse 9. He says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. I don't pray for the world. Now, he's high priest. Remember this. He's high priest over the house of Yahweh. His prayers are going to Yahweh on your behalf. He's not praying for this world. The world is under this plan. They've assigned to go ahead and take care of their thing, do their thing. You got to make a choice, as we're shown in Deuteronomy. You've got to make your choice, and Yahweh says that he's going to show you what is going to take place. You go your way as you have chosen, and I'll show you what your end will be. Remember the song of Moshe? Okay, here in 17 and verse 9 now, chapter of Yochanan, 17 verse 9, he says, I don't pray for the world. I do not pray for the world, period. Now look at verse 20. He says, I do not pray for these alone. Now, he was praying for his disciples here. You got that? Verse 20. Yochanan 17, verse 20. This prayer here, he was praying for his disciples to finish their work. But he's saying here, I don't pray for these alone here. Well, who's he praying for then? He's not praying for the world, so he's praying for another group of people here. His prayers. Sitting at the right hand of Yahweh, yes, he's making his prayers known to Yahweh. But not for the world. Not for the world, but he's praying for somebody else besides his disciples, if you see that. But also for those who will believe on me through their word. Through the word. Believe on me through the word taught to them. Now look back to verse 14. I have given them your law. Yeshua, I have given them your law. And the world hates them. Oh, have we experienced some of that? Because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So they're being influenced by Satan, of course. And he says, now I have given them your law. He's actually opened the seals, as Revelations chapter 5 and chapter 6 says, I've given them your law, which means also includes the prophecy. Now look at chapter 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them through your law. Your law is truth. Sanctify them through your law. If you look back to, or remember, just remember this. He says, keep my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign that it's me who sanctifies you. Now, let me explain that some people claim they're keeping the Sabbath. And they start saying they rest on the Sabbath day. And that's about as deep as they get into what the Sabbath is all about. They have no truth. Now, they don't even know how to keep the Sabbath day. Yeshua set a perfect example of keeping the Sabbath day. But not only that, Yahweh says, go to the place where I choose to place my authority. That's where you keep the Sabbath. If you don't go to that place, then you're not being sanctified by Yahweh. You're not keeping the Sabbath. There's where you learn to keep the Sabbath. Learn to keep it to perfection. The perfection that Yeshua brought. Being a servant to the people. Servitude. That's the attitude. Remember? One of our cooks wrote that. Servitude. That's the attitude that he put in it. Now, and then I will give them eternal life. Give them eternal life. 17 and 17. Sanctify them through your law. Well, if you keep the Sabbath at the place where he chooses to place his name, then you will get the instruction, just like Cain and Abel got it, and you can make your choice whether to keep it or whether not to keep it. And you're offered this. And then Yahshua said then in Revelation 22, blessed are those who have done this, not those who don't do it. He's not gathering fruit from those trees of righteousness mixed with evil. He only gathers it from his house, his prophesied work. Now, let's go back to Genesis again. Genesis 3 again. Genesis 3. And look at verse 22. Genesis 3 and verse 22. And Yahweh says, behold, the man has become one like who begins to know righteousness and evil. Now, if you'll notice here, that's what the world has done. That's what the world is teaching right now, and that's why they're in this big mess right now. They practice righteousness and evil, following the gods, as Eve just told Cain in chapter 3. Do this and you'll be like the gods. Well, that's what the world has done. And now, I want to point out something, too, about the Pope trying to knock out creation, the creation chapter book, as they call it. If they can make you think that Yahweh didn't create the heaven and the earth, this is a step in getting their propaganda and their deception to going, to make you think that it all just happened. That's the reason they're pushing Darwin's theory right now. Now, they got some new laws that's going into effect in the schools. You may have seen it. We'll probably get some news on that and show it. But the people are all angry about these laws and the teachings. And what they're saying is, well, it pushes out Christianity. Now, what they actually mean is it's pushing out the creation and putting more emphasis on Darwin's theory of evolution. So it's taking Yahweh out of the picture. So what do you have left? You have the dead rabbis who are the lords. If you read Unger's Bible Dictionary and look up the word rabbi, you will see that's where it started. Now, the pharaohs before the rabbis, they became gods. the pharaohs, they were gods. They took the place of God himself. That's what the Pope does today, in place of God. And of course, they meant, at that time, they meant God the Creator. But now they say, no, there was no such thing as creation. There was a time period when, you know, billions and billions of years, and surely something could have happened during billions of years, so they throw a bunch of billions of years at you, hoping you'll believe that something slowly developed over billions of years. And that wouldn't be so hard for you to believe, maybe. Instead of, he created the earth in 7 days. We're the only ones that know how he did that. By the way. Why do we know it? Because Yahshua is our high priest. And Yahshua is guiding his house to all this truth in these last days, bringing you to perfection. Well, here now, they've become one who knows the righteousness, who is practicing, actually practicing the righteousness and evil. Well, what are they bringing forth? They're bringing forth wars, hatred, confused minds, sickness, disease, and so forth, which Yahweh promises to take all that away from you. And give you true minds that you can really think with, and then multiply that wisdom and knowledge that you have a billion times or more. And now he must not be allowed to put his hand out and take of the tree of life and live forever. So he blocked off. He says they're practicing. They're like the gods now. They're practicing righteousness and evil together. And they will never submit to my law like this. So he said, they can't. I'm going to take the tree of life away from them now, totally away from them, and we'll let them go their way, and nothing will be withheld from them, and we will show them what their end will be. So they can't. They've shut off from the tree of life. Therefore, Yahweh sent him out of the garden. That is, away from his house. From his house. This word right there, word 1588 and 1598, Hebrew dictionary, Strong's Concordance, meaning garden or protected place. Protected place. So they're sent out of the protected place, and then they started killing each other. To do the work from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. So he's cut off from the tree of life. Now, if you go back to Revelations 22, and of course we know from what we read in Hebrews, the first chapter, that Yahshua qualified to receive this judgment. All judgment is given to Yahshua. So all judgment is given to Yahshua, and here he stands. The first and the last. The first part of Yahweh's plan was to make man in his image. Yahshua was the first born of many brethren. He was the first to be made into this perfection of Yahweh. The first. A lot of others that are here last, that's being called last, are going to go with him first into this kingdom. That is, this to receive. You see that? The last that he's calling, see, is going to be allowed with him and given this job. That is, given this authority to do the job. And of course, our job is to teach the whole universe Yahweh's way. And he says to you, I'm the first and the last of this plan. And now, blessed are those who keep his laws or have kept his laws. Yahshua said the same thing in Matthew 4:17, Matthew 5:5, Matthew 5:17, Matthew 19:17, If you would enter into life, keep the commandments. Enter into the tree of life. That's the only way there. And he said, blessed are those, verse 14, blessed are those who keep his laws, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in. So the life has been cut off to all the world except to Yahweh's house. And in these last days, Yahshua, let's go back to Genesis, I'm sorry. In Genesis 2. And notice there, this tree of life. The tree of life now is just what I showed you. He's teaching his laws on the Sabbath days. They're keeping their appointments with Yahweh on the Sabbath day. If you leave his house, you won't be keeping the Sabbath day. And of course, it won't be Yahweh that's sanctifying you then. If you keep his Sabbath as he has commanded, it will be, you can rest assured, it's Yahweh that's sanctifying you, setting you apart for the job. Yahshua just said, come, I've got a job for you. That's what he said. Revelation 22, verse 12. I'm here to give you a job, every person, according as what your job is going to be. That's Revelation. Now here he says in verse 9, he says, and out of the ground Yahweh made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and desirable for food. That is desirable to get you to the point to where Yahweh can use you and give you authority, like he said in verse 1. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden. That is the tree of life, that is righteousness, in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of righteousness and evil is also in the midst of this garden. Now look back over, Yahshua showed this tree in chapter 7 here of Matithya. We covered this just a little the other day, last Sabbath. But Yahshua showed this tree of life that he says you've qualified for in Revelation 22, 12 through 14. Blessed are you because you've kept his laws. You've kept his Sabbath at his house. You've learned to be righteous. You've learned to be a righteous servant. So you have right to the tree of life. That is, my judgment is, his judgment is, you have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now here in chapter 7 of Matithya, the Savior speaks of this. And notice verse 12 first. He says, therefore, all things that you want men to do to you, do the same to them. For this is the teaching of the laws and the prophets. So he puts it upon you now. This is the teaching, and he tells you exactly what Yahweh's laws teach you. Yahweh's laws are teaching you, don't steal, don't kill, don't murder, don't molest, don't lust after your neighbor's property. Now, if you don't want him doing this to you, then he's saying don't do it to him. Do to others as you want them to do unto you. And this is the teaching of the law and the prophets. This is the whole teaching that will get you to be like Yahweh. Verse 12. Now, remember Revelation 22 and verse 12. He says, do it. Blessed are those that do it. Oh, I was wanting to read you one more thing there before I read this other here. In Revelations 22, again, hold your place there in Matithya if you want to. Verse 14 says, blessed are those who keep his laws that they may have right to this tree of life that's been cut off from mankind all this time. No one has received eternal life. You got that? It was cut off. It was cut off. You couldn't receive it at all. Yahshua was the first to qualify for it. We are going to enter that phase with Yahshua, our high priest. Yes. He's not going to die ever again. And he's going to receive that right from Yahweh along with us that he presents. The Lamb is going to be with us. He's going to present us, the wave sheaf, the first fruits. The last will be first. That's the ones that take the Lamb. That believe on the Lamb because we see it in the writings of the prophet. And we believe without seeing. And we got him. He's ours. He's ours. And he gives us the kingdom. And he says, blessed are those that have kept his laws, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates into the city. Behold, outside are the dogs. Now look at verse 16. I, Yahshua, have sent my Moloch to testify, that is, messenger. I've sent my messenger. Well, who is his messenger now? Well, hold your place. Hold your place and go over to Zechariah. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but we'll pick it up in later sermons here. In chapter 6 of Zechariah. Now, he's got a messenger here, a prophesied messenger. Yahshua was prophesied, or he wouldn't have got this job. He's the prophesied Lamb. Behold the Lamb of Yahweh. He is prophesied. They're speaking of the prophecy before this. And here I've sent my messenger. He's speaking in the last days now. He's not praying for his disciples anymore. He's praying for another group. That group is us. As we just got through covering that. Praise Yahweh. Well, here I've sent my messenger, he says. Well, here in Zechariah 6, in verse 11, he says, take the silver and gold and make crowns and set them on the head of Yahshua. And, of course, the King James Version has Joshua. That's the first time they ever made the mistake of showing you the Savior's name. And you can look this word up, Joshua, in Strong's Concordance. I think it's in the Bible dictionaries. I think that's the first place I saw it and rejoiced. But Yahshua is the name of the Son of Yahweh, the first Son of Yahweh. He says, take the crown and set it on the head of Yahshua, son of Yezedek, and Strong's Concordance and every other Hebrew dictionary that I know of says this is Yahweh. This means Yahweh, but they translated it Yezedek. Yahweh, Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, the high priest. Well, he became a high priest over the house of Yahweh, as Hebrews 10 shows. And he's our high priest. And then he says, speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. In other words, Yahweh of hosts is giving Yahshua, the high priest, a command. Behold the Moloch. Behold your Moloch is what he's saying here. Behold the man whose name is the branch, for he will branch out from his place, and he will build the house of Yahweh. Well, if you go back now to Revelations, the 22nd chapter, in verse 16, I, Yahshua, have sent my Moloch, the branch, to testify to you these things in the congregations of the house of Yahweh, in the assembly. Revelation 22:16. So Yahweh gave Yahshua the command by the prophets in Zechariah. That was only the one place he gave it. In other places too, starting in Genesis, by the way. Behold this man. Behold this branch. Genesis 49, verse 11. 10 and 11. But here he says, Yahshua now talking directly to his house through Revelations, the last revelations given to mankind, Revelations 22, verse 16. I, Yahshua, have sent my Moloch, that is the branch that's given to him, to testify to you these things. In the house of Yahweh, he's the one that will build the house of Yahweh. He will branch out and build the house of Yahweh in the last day. So he sends Yeshua, saying then, I, Yeshua, have sent my Moloch, that is the branch, to testify to you these things in the congregations of the house of Yahweh. I am the root and the offspring of David. This is speaking Isaiah. This is speaking of Isaiah's prophecy right here. The root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That is, those who choose the house of Yahweh in these last days. They will take of the water of life freely. Now back to Matithiah now. Now in chapter 7, verse 12, he says, therefore, all these things you want men to do to you, do the same to them. Do it. Do it. Don't fall for this stupid baloney. Only believe. Only believe. That was only part of sentence. Believe all that the prophets have spoken. You're a fool if you don't. Luke 24. You're a fool if you don't, 24, Luke 24, verse 25. You're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, Matithiah 7 here in verse 12. Now, if you look on down to verse 13, he says, enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Destruction? I don't see how anyone could keep from seeing that. 237 wars since 1900. The deaths from those 237 wars is 95,896,838. Now, not just that, they won't repent of their murders of babies either, which goes up into the billions, the destruction. We'll have more on that next week. Don't miss next week. But notice, just do it. And Revelations 22, verse 14 through 12, do it. Matithiah 19. These are all the Savior's teachings, and if you have a King James Version, a red letter edition, it will show you in red that this is the Savior's teaching. Matithiah 19 and verse 17. The last part. But if you would enter into life, enter into the tree of life, if you want to enter into this tree of life that he just spoke of in Revelations to his house in this last days, in the last days, then keep the commandments or keep the laws of Yahweh. Just do it. These are the commands of Yahshua Messiah to you. Everyone who's listening out there, these are not my command. They're the commands of Yahweh, of Yahshua. Remember, Matithiah 7:12, the law and the prophets teach everything you want men to do to you, do to them. Do it to them. Leviticus, this is the teaching of the law and the prophets, he said. And in Leviticus, here is part of this law. Remember, we went there in 23 and he says, these are these appointed times that you come to my house. That was in chapter 23. You come to my house for teaching. These are the holy congregation that has a holy convocation on these set time periods with Yahweh. where Yahweh inspires this to be taught to you. And here in, if you turn back here just a little to Leviticus, Leviticus 19, here's the teaching of the law and the prophets, as he shows here. In Leviticus 19, remember, don't do anything to someone else that you wouldn't want that someone else to do to you. That's what the law teaches you. That's the teaching of the laws and the prophets, as Yeshua said. And then he goes on to show you all the false teachings that's throughout the world that's causing all the death and destruction, as Isaiah 24, 1 through 6 showed. But now look at Leviticus 19 and verse 18. Do not seek revenge, nor bear a grudge against one of your own people, but you shall love your brother or sister as yourself. I am Yahweh. If you don't teach these things, brethren, and your actions are your is what you're teaching. You can speak with your mouth and testify about Yahweh and teach your brothers and sisters to walk in destruction, to be rebellious like you. When you're rebellious against Yahweh's house, against against me, if you're rebellious against me, and I tell you things to do and you don't do it, you're rebellious against Yahweh himself and Yahshua himself. Yahshua tells me, tell these people this thing. Your actions speak louder than words. That's what Yahweh said. So do what you're told to do exactly. Now, don't hold a grudge. Yes, tell the person. Tell the person where they're wrong, yes. And forgive that person. Don't hold a grudge against him. You won't be forgiven yourself if you don't. You must keep, verse 18, do not seek revenge nor bear a grudge against one of your own people, that is, the house of Yahweh members. You must keep my laws, my statutes. Look at verse 34. The stranger living with you must be treated as one of your native born, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt, all of the same family. Well, how's this rebellion started anyway? It started with Nimrod, and we'll get into that in the next sermon. But remember what he said in 7 verse 12. This gate to destruction, it's wide. And anything, a lot of things can get you off if you're not very, very careful. And you can let a grudge swell up within you, and you can get to hating. And of course, when you start hating, you cut yourself off from Yahweh then. And of course, you're left on your own without the instruction that he wants to give you, so you will be like him. If Yahweh held a grudge, he would destroy this world himself. But he doesn't. He sees us through in spite of what we've done. He sees us through, and he keeps guiding and coaxing you. But there is a cutoff date. And if you don't straighten up, if you hold that grudge, you'll burn with it. And you'll be wishing at that time. You'll be wishing at that time that you'd have listened to the Moloch that Yahshua sent you. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you.